Great Deacon David Knight.
Shabbat Shalom, Saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. What a beautiful sight. It's great to be here at Yahweh's house. The title of my sermon today, sermonette, is The Solution Has Always Been, Is Now, and Will Always Be the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. Imagine that, talking about the peaceful solution. Yes, right here, there it is again, the peaceful solution. One of those guys. The peaceful solution has been taught from the beginning. I'd like to explain just a little bit of that. You know how I've had people say to me that your church hasn't even been around that long. How can that be right? Well, the truth of the matter is the house of Yahweh has been with Yahweh since the beginning, since before the earth was created. Praise Yahweh. You know, and again, with the peaceful solution, they say similar things like, what's up with your program? It hasn't been around very long. I've never heard of it. We use this program that's been around a long time, very well established in all this, you know. And the truth of the matter is that, yes, the peaceful solution has been around a long time. Again, it was with Yahweh before the earth was created. The Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. Praise Yahweh. According to the American Heritage Dictionary, I'd like to read this to you. We're going to take a look at what the peaceful solution means and what this is that's been with Yahweh since the beginning, before the beginning. Peace, the absence of war or hostility. And there's only one place that you can find that at. That's at the house of Yahweh. Free from strife. Okay, remember that absence of war and hostility. And then peaceful. The word peaceful means undisturbed by strife and turmoil. Undisturbed by strife and turmoil. That's peaceful. Now let's look at solution. According to American Heritage again, the method or process of solving a problem. Now, I'm not reading every definition. You know, we'd be here a long time. But the method or process of solving a problem. And also a solution, if you look into it, you can find that a solution is a blend of substances that are of like kind, that are similar in structure, uniform structure throughout. Kind of like if you take a jug and put water and oil in it and shake it up, it's going to separate real quick. So that's not a solution, it's a mixture. Whereas if you take like a cake mix and you mix it all up, it's going to stay that way. You're not going to come back tomorrow and find the egg sitting over here and the flour over here and so forth. It's going to remain that cake solution. I'd like you to remember, if you would, Daniel's vision. In Daniel 2:33, you don't have to go there, you just put it down for your notes if you like, but in Daniel 2:33, you know, he had a night vision, and it was about the large image, and we're going to focus on the feet for a moment. The feet, which if you look up feet, you're going to find that it's a foundation. It's what you stand on, what holds you up. But the feet that he saw of this image was part iron and part clay. And Daniel goes on to explain that these items don't mix. You know, they don't hold together. It's going to fall apart. Even though it may look like it's going to hold together for a while, there's no possible way it can, because they are not of a like substance. It's not a uniform substance throughout. It's not a solution. Yahweh has given us a foundation. The foundation that will hold together through everything. And if you'll turn to page 920, if you'll turn to page 920, and that is Ephesians 6:15. Ephesians 6:15 on page 920. And let's look at verse 13, 14, and 15. Therefore, take up the whole armor of Yahweh, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having overcome all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your waist belted with the truth, that's the laws, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, that's practicing those laws, and, look at verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the message of peace. Well, what about that message of peace? The peaceful solution, right? Shod your feet with the peaceful solution. Be prepared. Therefore, the truth and righteousness, the practicing of 613 laws of Yahweh, the message of peace, the peaceful solution blended together is indeed a solution. But it's more than that. It is the solution. It is the solution. It is the answer to the problems that face all mankind today. And the peaceful solution will stand forever, as it's been with us since the beginning. Well, in traveling around with the peaceful solution and talking to dignitaries and so forth, there was a man that we met with recently that really stood up for the house of Yahweh. It's amazing. There's a lot of people out there that we may not be aware of that don't go along with all the things that have come against the house of Yahweh, all the persecution. They don't go along with the sodomy. They don't go along with all the abominations out in the world. Even though they don't have it right yet, they have some great traits. This man went through the list of these positive character education traits in the magazine, and he said, you know, I'm this, 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 and this, but I really need to work on this one right here, and this self-control, I really need to work on it. And he was humble about it. He said, I need to work on these things. And in talking to this man, I'm going to tell you what, he does have a lot of them down. I would like to tell you more, but it might be at another time. Our pastor, the great Kohan Yisrael Hawkins, the greatest teacher in the world, he has taken up the whole armor of Yahweh. He stands having his waist belted in truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, his feet are shod with the message of peace. And he has shared this with us. He's teaching us, guiding us, correcting us, so that we can be like him. Not being disturbed by the turmoil and the strife taking place all around us. We can be like him. Wow, that is really something. That's how I want to be. This world is sick, and it's the whole world, even in Clyde right now. You know, even in the small town of Clyde, the police, they can't even keep up with all the calls that are coming in. You know, you call them, and you tell them, hey, something's going on here, and they say, well, we'll get to you next week sometime. You know, unless someone's trying to kill you right now, then we'll try to get somebody out there. They can't keep up. I'm not talking bad about the police. I'm just trying to show that this system doesn't work. There's no fear of being caught anymore by anybody. You know, Yahshua refused to have anything to do with this beastly system in any manner. These wars, this strife, this turmoil. He refused it all his life. And in fact, he said, the princess is coming and I have nothing in common with her. You might remember that as reading the princess coming, but it is indeed the princess that's coming, and I have nothing in common with her. These others that are out there, you might recall recently the Chick-fil-A deal that was on the news, you know, the media kind of blacked some of it out. But it's just like Ilya. You know, Yahweh told him that there were thousands of people that he had reserved for this time that had not bowed their knee to Baal. Guess what? It's the same in these last days. We got 2 billion people coming in here, and they got to come from somewhere, right? And they are all around, and they're going to be willing to learn this peaceful solution and learn Yahweh's laws. Praise Yahweh. And they're coming right now. The pastor said they're coming in droves. Well, they don't want to join in with this sodomy. They're turning against this sodomy. And, you know, Yahshua came teaching peace. And that's what he always taught. Teaching peace, the peaceful solution. This is a mess. And you should be able to see that the police are not solving the problem. The cameras are not solving the problem. The word solve, it means basically to find an answer to something. And remember, a solution is the method or process of solving a problem. Sometimes to solve a problem, you've got to dissolve some things first. On the free dictionary online, it says, dissolve is to cause to pass into solution or to cause to disappear or vanish. A while back, The U.S. exploded a nuclear bomb in space, and they were warned against it, but they did it anyway. The firmament has gotten sicker. Drought has covered the earth. Famine is covering the earth. It's like no one listens to any sense. No one listens to what's going on, to any knowledge. I'm going to read this to you. This is in the new newsletter right here. And it's 2 Kefa 3:10 through 13. It's on page 963 in your book of Yahweh if you want to turn there, but I'm just going to read it. I'm going to read 11. Since all these things will then be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and righteousness? You must look for and earnestly long for the day of Yahweh, because of which the heavens will be dissolved. The heavens will be dissolved in fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. You know, it's got to be cleaned up, and sometimes things have to be dissolved to clean it up. So if you look at the examples of the prophets, look at the apostles practicing peace. They practiced and taught the 613 laws of Yahweh and the peaceful solution. They taught the peaceful solution character education program. I mean, it's obvious. It is because it is. This is the house of Yahweh because it's the house of Yahweh, and it was prophesied. The peaceful solution was prophesied, and they taught the peaceful solution. If they're teaching peace, if the only solution to something is peace, then the solution they're teaching is the peaceful solution, right? So I don't care what language it was said in. I don't care what it said on their parchments or whatever they were writing on. Guess what it was? The peaceful solution character education program. I mean, look at this. Yosef, he did not retaliate against his brothers, did he? He was taught not to retaliate. He practiced self-control, respect, forgiveness, kindness, compassion. Look at Yashub. He continued to teach his children and wife in hopes that they would repent and come to Yahweh. He taught them responsibility. He was practicing responsibility, respect, perseverance, self-control. Here are the apostles. I'm just going to read portions of this to you. In Galatians 4:19, it talks about, again, I'm in pains of childbirth until the character of Messiah is formed in you. So, you know, there's character being taught. 1 Corinthians 15:33, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts righteous character. Romans 5:4, patience, maturity of character, and character hope. 2 Kefa, page 961. He prays that we'll come to the full knowledge of Yahshua Messiah in peace and that character. In Ephesians 4:3, the bond of peace. That's the peaceful solution. And the reason we have the peaceful solution is that Yahweh's the author of the peaceful solution. And pastors brought it forth in these last days. The peaceful solution. If you'll turn to 2 Corinthians 13:11 real fast on page 909. 2 Corinthians 13:11, page 909. I'm going to read this. I'm running out of time here. 13:11. It says, finally, brothers, farewell. Be perfect. Be of great courage. Be in unity. Live in peace. And Yahweh, who is love and peace, will be with you. Yahweh is the author of peace. Excuse me. And now if you'll all please stand. It's my great honor and privilege to introduce to you the great Kohan Binyamin Hawkins. Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh.
Shabbat shalom, saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. They say us guys from the north are kind of abrupt, but I don't have a lot of time, so I got an excuse today. But may the peace of Yahweh be with all of you, and Yahweh loves you. But Satan hates your guts. Of course, this is what I'm going to talk about today, the peaceful solution. Of course, like all of you, I too am a student of the peaceful solution and the greatest teaching tool on the face of the earth. Nothing like it. Unique. It's totally unique. Now, I want to read today from the Building Moral Excellence Manual, and I'm reading from the note to the student on page Roman numeral 13. It says, I am in hopes that all students will thoroughly read this preface because of the extremely harsh reality you're about to face and will hopefully change. Well, Pastor, your hopes are just fulfilled. We're reading this preface. I know that you're familiar with graduation speeches that motivate you to seek careers or personal achievements such as keeping up with the Joneses, or where I'm from, the Gonzaleses. Whatever part of the world you're at, you're keeping up with, you know, chasing after what he's going to talk about here. However, there are greater, more important goals to seek. Remember that word. And they can all be summed up in one word, peace. Through the nearly 70 years of my life, of course, we know he's 77 now, I have personally witnessed many wars and revolutions. Many of my childhood friends and longtime business acquaintances have fallen into the trap of gathering wealth. Remember that word. Turn over to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. I'll give you a page number. I always fail to write them down for some reason, but it's on page 936. And I'm going to be going kind of fast, but somebody said last time I spoke I didn't give enough scriptures. Well, get ready, because today you're going to get some. 1 Timothy 6, 10. Well, let's start at verse 9. But those who want to become rich will fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Like the son of perdition that sits on the seven hills, that's gathering wealth, has all the wealth in the world and wants even more now. It's a trap. You know, a lot of times we hear our pastor telling us, you know, the only future that we have is in this Peaceful Solution Character Education program. But, you know, and he reads these verses, you know, out of 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10 and so on and so forth. But, you know, we don't consider, it's a law. It's a law not to be lusting after the wealth of the gods. Read Deuteronomy 7, 25. Lusting after the wisdom of the gods, the wealth of the gods, it's all the same. Do not lust after the wealth. That's prohibitive law number 22, by the way. Now I'm skipping over to Roman numeral 15. At the bottom of the page, it says, I urge you. Now, young people here, young men, women, teenagers, and everyone, keep this in mind. You want to be cool? Pastor is the epitome of cool. He's a cool guy. That's the coolest man I've ever met. He even shows you how to have cool thoughts and the peaceful solution. You want to be cool? Think on those things. That's cool. Any other thing is being a fool. And you're a damn fool if you don't believe the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. Now he says, I urge you to set your mind on the most important goal you can set for yourself, and that is to pursue a future where peace exists among all people. When you complete this program, you will have all the tools you need to make a difference in the world, to ensure there's a future for you and generations to come. Yes, you will have, let me read that again, to pursue. Remember, he used seek in that first page, and now he's telling you to pursue a future where peace exists. Turn over to Psalm 34:14. Psalm 34:14, found on page 446. Psalm 34:14. It says, seek peace, pursue it. Depart from evil and do righteousness. Seek peace, like the great deacon just said. The peaceful solution has been taught all along. And to the fools that say that just in the note to the student here, how many laws can you read? How many statutes and judgments are in this just first few pages of this book? Seek peace and pursue it. 1 Kefa 3:11. Turn over to 1 Kefa 3:11. And then we can prove that nothing's changed. Remember the great apostle Kefa. 1 Kefa 3:11. He told us the same thing. Imagine that. He's quoting from Psalms. I thought that was done away with. By the way, when they give you that New Testament without an Old Testament attached to it, that's deception. It's witchcraft. Why would they not want you to read the whole book? That'd be like me tearing this book in half and giving it to you and saying, here, read this and understand it. It's foolishness. It's another deception. It's witchcraft. and we need to come out. Remember, put the witch to death within yourself, okay? That doesn't mean go kill yourself, but get rid of these ideas that the world has placed in your mind. 1 Kefa 3:11 says, let him turn away. No, let me start at verse 10. For he who would love life and see righteous days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. That means like falsehood. Let him turn away from evil and do righteousness. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Let him seek peace, the peaceful solution character education program. Now I'm on Roman numeral 16. He says, don't waste your time on frivolous things that won't last. If you don't think they're not coming to gather your wealth, you haven't been out on the freeway where I've been and seen all the convoys of military equipment. Nor have you seen the black helicopters in the sky in Laredo, Texas. And all the residents in Laredo are complaining, what's going on at 3 in the morning with all these military aircraft? And they're saying, oh, we're getting ready to go to Afghanistan. Yeah? Okay. Yeah, they're going to gather your wealth, that little bit of wealth that you think you have right now. If you're putting your trust in that, it's going to be taken from you very soon. Turn over to Proverbs. Well, hold on. Let me stop for a minute. He says, don't waste your time on frivolous things that won't last. Entertainment and fashion are constantly changing. Break out of the mold that society has cast and dare to be different. Dare to make changes, not only for yourself, but for future generations. Don't allow anyone to hinder you from learning every facet of every lesson in this program. If you follow the instructions contained in these lessons, if you will have the ability to accomplish what is now thought to be the impossible, true lasting peace. And after you finish, he says, give us a call. There's a future in the peaceful solution for you. Respectfully, Israel Hawkins, the author and promoter of the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. Now, turn over to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. And let's look at verse 13. I'm sorry I'm being fast. Verse 3, I'm sorry. Knowing this in the last days, perilous times, that means through the idea of reducing the strength, perilous times will come. In verse 3, it says, they're going to be without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of those that are righteous. Remember that, despisers of those that are righteous. That word despisers, I brought a copy of that with me. Let me see if this works today, or let's see if I work today. Now look at that. It says, hostile to virtue. Hostile to virtue. They're hostile to virtue. Remember that. And it comes from word number 5358, which means a promoter of virtue. Now does everybody remember what virtue means? That word virtue, when you go on House of Yahweh established booklet, you'll see that it means moral excellence. Moral excellence. Okay, that word virtue means moral excellence. You can also find that in 1 Kefa chapter 1, where it talks about add to your faith virtue. And you look at the bottom of the page, it says moral excellence. Well, look, what is he telling you? They're going to be haters of who? The promoters of what? The Peaceful Solution Building Moral Excellence program. This wasn't named Building Moral Excellence because it sounded like a pretty name. This is fulfilling prophecy. And the haters, the despisers of those that are righteous. Now remember, it meant promoter of virtue. Promoter of virtue. Who did it say was the author and promoter? Yisrael Abel Hawkins, right? Well, that's why they hate the man. Because he's promoting the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, just as the prophets told you that they would do. Now turn over to Proverbs 31, that word virtue. Y'all remember the virtuous woman, right? Are we not the virtuous woman, the house of Yahweh in these last days? Proverbs 31, and we're going to look at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? Her price is far above rubies. Verse 18, she sees that her merchandise is of the highest quality. The highest quality. Why do they call it building moral excellence? Excellence. This righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. If you're going to enter into the kingdom, you need to get your nose in this book and you need to practice every word in it, or you're a damn fool, like Pastor said. Look at verse 29. It says, many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. You, this house, in these last days, you excel them all. Turn over to Chagia chapter 2. Chagia chapter 2. Okay, Chagia 2 on page 715, verse 9. It says, the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former. That word latter, look here. That word latter, believe, all the prophets have spoken. That word latter means Western. The Western house is going to be the most glorious. This house right here in this time period. The Western lamp, the seventh lamp that will never go out. Look at Proverbs 31:1. Go back to Proverbs 31:1. I'm running out of time. Proverbs 31:1 says, the words to those who will reign as priests and kings belonging to Yahweh. These are words to us belonging to Yahweh. By the way, I had a really excellent note. Read it for your notes, Proverbs 22:4. And also Eob 7:18, where it says, what is man that you examine him every morning and test him every moment? Yes, we're being tested to see if we love the wealth of this world more than we love the wealth of knowledge and information and this beautiful, peaceful solution, character education program, and all the material we've been given. We are being tested every morning to see, every moment of the day, to see if we're going to practice it. Proverbs 31:1 says, the words to those who will reign as priests and kings belonging to Yahweh. We belong to Yahweh. Y'all remember ownership, right? Everyone owns things, has rights to make decisions concerning them. Well, I belong to Yahweh, and Yahweh has every right to decide how I speak, how I act, what I eat, what time I go to bed, what work I do. Okay. Ownership. Remember, he owns everything. Look at Psalm 24. Go to Psalm 24 and look at verse 1. It says, the earth is great Yahweh's in its fullness. The world and all the people are Yahweh's. He has the right to make the decisions concerning the things that he owns, and he's never going to use anything improperly. Read the whole ownership program, and you'll find that he takes care of those that are under him, that serve him. It's not ownership like the world. That's what you're fixing to see. This beastly system is rolling through the land, and it's hungry. It's going to devour everything that you have. And if you don't believe that, you're a damn fool. Start practicing and getting your nose in the peaceful solution. Get involved, please. Children, teens, adults, everyone. Yahweh doesn't want to lose one person. He loves you. He's crying out to you every week from this lectern. Just let him use you in promoting this program and become one with the messenger. Let him use you. Let him use you. He's not, Pastor, I'm telling you, I've never had lack of anything. For my last scripture, remember when Yahshua said, don't worry about what you'll eat or what you'll wear. Go to Leviticus 25. Leviticus 25. Remember, the answers are all in the books. And look at verse 20. He says, and if you will say, what shall we eat in the seventh year if we don't plant our harvest or our crops? He said, I will send you such a blessing in the sixth year that the land will yield enough for 3 years. While you plant during the eighth year, you will eat from the old crop and will continue to eat from it until the harvest of the ninth year comes in. Do you believe that? Then get away from the fertilizer. Get away from the things that are destroying our firmament and the earth. Show Yahweh that you really believe, like our pastor does. Get behind this peaceful solution. There's no greater future for any of us. This is the most beautiful job anybody could ever have. I don't know why anybody would throw this away. And I know nobody here is doing that. Everybody's promoting the peaceful solution. Whatever job you're doing, wherever you're working in the house of Yahweh, you are promoting the peaceful solution character education program. With that, I'd like you all to please stand, and I'd like to turn the services over to the great Sophania Hawkins. Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh.
Shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. We have five stories, all in fulfillment of prophecy, as the scripture shows and as explained by Israel Hawkins. But the first one is the fighting in Syria, which is going to fulfill, of course, it's part of this Damascus being a ruinous heap. And then one-third of the man over a fourth part of the earth in and around the great river Euphrates. Syria sits right on that. And then you're also going to have the ships of the sea destroyed. And a few more prophecies there. I kind of forget them off the top of my head. Then we're going to have the flesh-eating bacteria. And this, of course, is the pestilence in Scripture. A man loses his leg in Houston. He just went out on a fishing tournament, and then he lost his leg. The West Nile virus in Abilene, Texas itself, and they're saying that Taylor County is being warned for that. The mosquitoes have this disease. And then the fourth one is the Sikh temple shooting. And they're asking why, which of course we explain, but it's going to get a lot worse before it gets any better. These things used to occur almost never or maybe once every few years, and now it's every week we're having a mass shooting. It's getting to the point where they can't cover them. And then the last one is the drought effect on food prices, and this is fulfillment of famine. And the Sikh temple shooting is the fulfillment of confusion of the mind. So all of these prophecies are being fulfilled. So let's play the video. Everyone, please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohen Israel Hawkins! Shalom, everyone! Wow, what a lively crowd we got here today. I know Yahweh is hearing you. I gotta get all my records straight here. Now let's go. They're jumping up and down over here. May Yahweh bless you. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The answer that the question that the world is asking is why? Why? Why would these things be going on? What's the answer for us? Well, they have not. Yahweh has the answer, but they don't want it right now. But one thing about it, at this time, the drought, the violence. Violence is increasing along with the sickness and disease and the drought. It's all burning together. Sickness and disease, and it's finally got the attention now of the whole world. And especially when they start saying the prices of food is going to go up. And it rose 50% while they were saying that. Says it's going to go up 5%, then he turns around and says it's gone up 23% already. Wow, they can't keep up with it. I'm glad it's getting their attention, because this is what Yahweh wants. Yahweh wants you, and of course he's wanting the world to know what they're bringing on themselves. And of course this is a great lesson. Our forefathers, they chose to rebel against Yahweh's laws. And of course, Yahweh said, okay, go your way, and I'm going to show you what your end will be. Now, he's had several works down through the years. He's had six works. This is the seventh work that he has going right now. This is the last work. And Revelations 10 says, when this work is accomplished, then the great secrets of Yahweh, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, will be finished. And we're the finishing of that great planned work, which is given in Genesis, I will make man in my image and after my likeness. The Noah, now, he says this is the national oceanic and atmospheric administration. They say that this is scientifically
proven now that it's caused by man. The droughts are caused by man. The global warming caused by man. Now, we had some flesh-eating bugs. Now that this is not new, but it seems like that it's increasing, and this bugs here can actually spread about an inch an hour once they get in your flesh, and you get them around the warm water. He says, now this could change at any time. We could start getting those anywhere and everywhere because they're breeding and mutating. And this is what you've got to keep in mind. This is what's occurred, and it's going not only just in the earth and the water, but it's going into the atmosphere, what we call the atmosphere today, which is the firmament, which I've been turning over to Matthew 24. The firmament that Yahweh made to protect and feed the earth, feed mankind, protect mankind, give him just enough sunshine, enough rain, but not too much rain. Everything is governed by the firmament that comes to mankind. And, of course, we've got to have those things from the sun, the moon, the stars, and the firmament. He has set kingdoms, billions of micro kingdoms in the firmament, to govern this. Now, when I first brought that out in 2007, they laughed at us. The talk show host, you know, they would snicker and say, you know, he says that STDs is causing global warming, ha, ha, ha. Well, of course, we had some scientists that come in behind us, and the articles are dated, I believe, in 2008, 1 year later, and now they're saying the same thing. And they say, I think I have one of those articles, microbes make the best climate engineers. Now, this was put out in 2008, February 2008. His name is Cain. Now, think of that, Abel and Cain. Fraser Cain. He's the, let's see, of the university. Where? I forgot where it is. Anyway, he's a micro. He's a climate engineer. He studies this. It's with the, and he says, with the rising threat of global warming, the headlines was microbes make the best climate engineers. He said, with the rising threat of global warming, you'd think humans are the best or worst climate engineers to arrive on planet Earth, but you'd be wrong. Tiny microbes have been modifying our climate for billions of years. And unless we learn how to work with them, we could be fighting a losing battle to get our greenhouse emissions under control. Well, he knows this. He knows that they are working to get this thing straightened out, these micro kingdoms. That's what we brought out in the first articles that we put out in 2007. Now listen to this. He says, unless we deeply understand how these microbes do their work, we might be fighting a losing battle to control climate change. As we warm the planet, we don't know what impact microbes might play to slow or maybe even accelerate the action. Well, they know this now. They know what we put out is the truth. Well, where we got ours was from the great wisdom of Yahweh, who made the earth, put mankind on it. He gave him certain laws to follow. He created the firmament also, and he made it for mankind to take care of mankind. Well, of course, they rejected his way. And he said in the end, he said this in Genesis now also. He told us this in Genesis 49. He told the 12 tribes, he said, this is what you're going to be in the last days. And he showed how their attitudes, how their violence would be, how this violence would increase in this time period, how their minds would become confused because of the STDs. Yes. And the STDs, of course, are also fighting against the very microbes that are in our firmament to protect it. And they have found these STDs in them. This flesh-eating virus, you know, it attacks. It doesn't just attack mankind. If you have a prick on your arm, a tiny pinhole of any kind, this thing can enter your flesh, and they'll be taking off your limbs to try to stop it. It works really, really fast. It does come from STDs, and it's made from STDs. I can prove that to you from scientific articles, studies that's been made. So we know that that's what it is. It doesn't just attack human beings. It lives. It lives out of the air and out of the water and so forth. It attacks microbes of any kind, like the STDs do. We have a clip, I don't think we have it ready this week, but someone now has put together a clip showing how the STDs actually rape the cells. And of course, they think of this as just working here on Earth. But the cells are the cells that we're breathing in and out right now, you know, you can't see them, but STDs are as small as they are, and yes, they attack those cells, and they mutate, and what is taking place in the micro kingdoms right now of the firmament is the mutations can't do the work that the original microbes were designed to do. The original microbes were designed to create raindrops and make those raindrops fall in a fashion slowly where it would water the earth without floods, without great floods. Well, now we see a huge flood comes. The farmers' lands are covered with sand from the rivers. They won't allow them to push them back into the rivers. You know why? Because their crops, land, is contaminated. So they won't allow them to push the sand because it's become contaminated now from the cropland that we're using to raise our foods, and they want to keep the rivers clean. Great job, man. Really great thinking. Just really keep this up now. The scriptures Yahweh gave in Genesis, he put man to guard the universe, the firmament, the earth, the firmament, everything that goes with making life for mankind, he put mankind to guard it. I know it's like putting the fox in charge of the chicken house. And of course, the chickens are going to all disappear along with the fox. Well, that's what Yahweh said. We will allow it. You should remember that like that now. So you'll take note. You got to remember this because Yahweh is teaching this lesson, so you will never forget it. And the ones he's calling right now can be in charge of bringing back the earth as it was, and the heavens, and the universe that has got so sick. The universe is sick itself. And we will find out. They're always hunting for life. We'll find out what life there is soon enough, and we will correct their attitudes towards Yahweh's great wisdom. That's our job, and that's what we're training for at this time. Well, the Savior, now he gave you some information in Matthew 24 and showing you what it's going to be in our time period. The prophet spoke of this thousands of years before this, but his disciples came to him in verse 3 asking what's going to be in the end. Well, of course, that was given in Genesis 49, but it was given throughout the Holy Scriptures by the prophets. But Yahshua said, he said in verse 7, he says there's going to be famine. Well, lo and behold, now we're seeing drought that is spreading. It's spread over 87% of the United States, portions of the United States. The heat wave is doing the same thing. By the way, if you're looking for a cold spell, I noticed the long-range weather this morning. They said the rest of August is going to be above normal temperatures, very hot, they said. Now, so look for September. No, he said September is going to be the same unless there's a great change takes place in this pattern that is set here. Well, see, mankind has made this pattern. And this is what they're hoping will change, but it may not. The firmament this time may not be able to fix itself. Although it's fighting to do so, it's being overwhelmed with the raping, mutating that's going on by these viruses that you're seeing now. You can actually see this with the man-eating, flesh-eating virus. I'd like to show you a picture of that because if I can get that up on camera, maybe it will sink into your mind what I'm... There it is. On the person's leg, you can see the two big spots, and that can grow an inch an hour. And that's the reason they don't hesitate when a person comes in and they see this on their body, they cut it off back up here. They cut it off back up above it to keep it from spreading. They don't always get it done either. They have to come back and do it again. Well, that's what we're facing here. That's what the universe, if you can think of the firmament, a man's body, if you can think of that as one unit. And these things are spreading, like the drought is spreading throughout the United States and throughout the world, not just the United States now. This is throughout the world. It's spreading, the heat is spreading, the heat waves are spreading, getting hotter. Now, of course, the prophet said the mountains are going to melt with fervent heat. I know that's speaking of nuclear bombs. It's not speaking of this heat from too much of the solar rays getting through the firmament, but at the same time, those bombs are also going to add to this problem that we already have. And they're using the bombs, you know, but it's going to get worse, the Savior said also. Verse 7, he shows your famine. He also shows your disease epidemics that is also man-made. Man-made because they've broken the laws. They pushed aside the laws of Yahweh, as you see in verse 12. He said, because iniquity will abound. It will take a great leap forward in this time period. It did that, along with knowledge, the increase of knowledge. Now think of that. Daniel prophesied 500 years before Yahshua, 500 to 700 years before Yahshua. He prophesied that in the last days that knowledge would be increased, and so would this great huge epidemics increase. Now, it didn't until our time period. How do you suppose Daniel knew that? How do you suppose Yahshua knew this and speaks of it here and says, in this time period, iniquity is going to abound? Iniquity is pushing aside, ignoring, rebelling against the laws of Yahweh. That's what iniquity is. Do you see any of the churches, any of the religions in the world today teaching the Holy Scriptures? You see preachers holding a Bible up in their hand as if they're living by it and saying all of this is done away with. All you have to do is believe. Only believe. Well, at least they said that right. He didn't say believe only, but he said only believe. But sometimes they even twist that around and say it backwards also. But this is what they've done. And Yeshua knew they were going to do it. He prophesied it more times than this right here. He told the disciples and even kept telling them clear up through Revelations. But he said, blessed are those, and you might want to write this down if you're new here. I noticed some newcomers here today. Praise Yahweh. There's a lot of newcomers listening to us out there, too. They let us know last week by about 100,000, a little over 100,000. But he said, in the end time, this iniquity will abound. And the love will grow cold. Well, of course, you see the violence. This means violence increasing, as he says later on here in this same chapter. But you see these two things taking place, along with the pestilence, the diseases, the wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And Yeshua knew this. So did Daniel know this. Look on over to verse 37. He says, but just as the days of Noah were, so will also be the coming of the Son of Man be. As the days of Noah were, so will also be the coming of the Son of Man. The days of Noah, if you want to write this down, it's Genesis 6, 11 through 13. It said the earth was filled with violence. Every thought and intent of man's hearts was evil continually. Now, in this time period, with the increase in knowledge, came the invention of the television, which was in this time period. The invention of the computer. Get this, please. Be able to teach it to others. That's going to be your job really, really soon. By the way, our evangelist, was other evangelists working with them. Now, they didn't have time to speak. They didn't get a chance to speak today, but I think they got their sermons ready, and they're going to be bringing them to you bits and pieces. But they were out working this week. They're chasing down judges and prosecuting attorneys, and and they're putting a piece of literature in their hand that would show them this way to get out of this. Why? It shows them why. And it shows them what to do to stop it. But in Genesis, it shows that very thing, the days of Noah. And Yeshua said, it's going to be the same now in this coming, in my coming. How could Yeshua have known there would be drought and famine and food shortage, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom? You know, mankind has his knowledge has increased. You know, he should be civilized by now, should he not? Everything that we see that the Savior said here is coming to pass. Could you predict what is going to take place tomorrow? I've seen people make plans. In fact, it's on the news this week. A girl, young girl, coming back from a ball game or something and lost her life. 16 years old, I believe she was. She had great plans for the future. Mankind cannot predict this. You can't predict it. People try. Jane Dixon tried. She was right about 10% of the time, I think, or less. It's like saying, well, you're going to have a boy. Or you're going to have a girl this time. Yeah. Maybe. Well, now they will not admit the cause of this. That's the one thing that I haven't heard them admit yet. But they will, and Yahweh says they will, and that's when they're going to turn to Him. Man-made. The first one that we got a glimpse of here where they're actually admitted this, and he's catching a lot of flack now, but Noah says a link between weather links extreme weather to climate change. That's the one thing. He says government scientists are saying recent extreme weather events are likely to connect to man-made climate change. This is the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. It's man-made. They show a picture of a dead cow here, dead grass, what we're seeing in the pastures today. But the fact is, he's admitting that this is man-made. In this one, now this is a different one now, blame blistering heat waves on global warming, study says. The relentless weather gone crazy type of heat that has blistered the United States and other parts of the world in recent years is so rare that it can't be anything but man-made global warming. Here you see a lake, the bottom of a lake. Now, they used to park big boats here. This is where they had their fancy sailboats, and they could tie them and rent this stall. I think it cost about $800 a month. I don't know what they're renting that for now, but I doubt if they're getting very much. They haven't carried those boats out, all of them. But that's the bottom of the lake, no water left, and that's not too far from here. Lake Hefner, oh, this is in Oklahoma. Lake Hefner, as drought continues to be a problem across the state, the relentless type of heat that has blistered the U.S. and other parts of the world in recent years is due to man-made global warming, a new study from top government scientists say. I am so glad that they are admitting this because it makes my job much easier now. We put that article out in 2007. In 2008, the scientists started saying, you better get to know these microorganisms in the atmosphere or you're going to be in trouble. Now, this one, along with this, and remember what Yahshua said about the disease epidemics, it says 158 cases of new strain of swine, of a new strain from pigs, a new strain of the swine flu. And it shows the pictures of the pig pens there, and it says, don't touch the pigs. You can eat them, but don't touch them. They'll have them in the grocery store for you real soon, but don't touch them. This is as much sense as our, well, the higher schools of learning. West Nile virus prompts public health emergency in Dallas County. Has killed 9 people already. That West Nile virus did not come from mosquitoes. It came from men whose bodies were screwed up. Now, in the understanding what Yahweh made when he made the firmament, this comes from the National Geographic News. Rain-making bacteria ride clouds to colonize the earth. Well, you know, this was what we pointed out in the first book in 2007 that we wrote called The Real Cause of Global Warming. We showed how the firmament was made up of microorganisms. Now, they call them bacteria that ride the clouds. Rain-making bacteria that live in clouds have the ability to spur showers as a way to dispense themselves worldwide a recent study found. This study was put out just not too long after 2009. Here it is, January 2009. This was 2 years after we put out the real cause of global warming. So they are starting to work on it. The research gives scientists a first glimpse. This is the first glimpse now into the link between biology and climate, and into how the tiny organisms global trot with the weather cycle. The microbes, called ice nucleators, are found in rain, snow, hail throughout the world. According to previous work by Brent Christner, a microbiologist at Louisiana State University, Christner had shown that at a high enough concentration, these organisms may be affluent drivers for forming ice in clouds, the first step in forming snow and rain. Now, this is what Yahweh created to bring your rain. These are microbes. You can't see them with your naked eye. Yahweh can see them. They look like grasshoppers. You laughed, which means you don't know what I'm talking about. But they actually do look like grasshoppers. Yahweh tells you what they look like. You want to know where? I'll show you. But they're forming your rain. That is, they used to could form your rain and your snow for you. At a time period, they could cover the earth, keep it green and beautiful with the flowers growing. You remember a prophet talking about this and saying, the flowers are withering and dying. The land is dried up. The seed is rotten under the soil. But that's what it takes. It'll teach man a lesson. That you can't commit sin and have peace and joy and love and health and, yes, richness, wealth. But he hadn't been able to pinpoint their source until now. He couldn't. In the recent study, as the knowledge increased, as Daniel said it would, in the recent study, Christner and colleagues found that the critters — I'm not the only one now that uses that word, bugs and critters. You see, here's a scientist that's using it. These critters, they don't know what they are. And they can't see them like Yahweh can see them. Hail from snow, soil. Yes, they live in your soil. The things they do for your soil to work and keep it clean. These critters, as they call them, they actually go down into the soil and they work in it constantly, pushing out some of this stuff that we put into our soil. It can't be used in any way by the earth. It can't be reused. It can't be made into a usable substance. So they push it out into the air, like you breathe air into your lungs, and this air cleanses a certain portion of your body, gives you oxygen, which also cleanses your blood. Sweat takes it out of your body, but so does the air. Well, what does the firmament, which is made of bugs, critters, what do they do with this? How do they cleanse it? There's a thing called the black hole, and I'm not telling you that that's the way, but we do know that it's pushed up through the firmament and out. According to some scientists, the black hole is a garbage container for everything. And whatever goes through that thing, they don't know where it is, but it disappears and never is seen again, which means it's made into another usable substance or is destroyed somewhere or another. There's so many things that we don't know right now that you will know soon. it wouldn't surprise me at all if all of them is not revealed in your Holy Scriptures and we just haven't found them yet. But the bacteria may be part of the constant feedback between these ecosystems and the clouds. That ecosphere. I think that word came out with the Star Trek, and it came out in 1953. Now that's the increase in knowledge, of course, and they found out and actually put it on the show, I think. But it's the parts of the universe habitable by living organisms. That's what it means. Ecosphere. Ecosphere. The ecosystem that he used here, the word ecosystem, he says the bacteria may be part of a constant feedback between these ecosystems and clouds, meaning making it reusable, making the vapors into raindrops, letting them come back down on the earth, taking salt water out of the ocean, that is, separating the salt from the water. How does it do that? Well, we know it does it, don't we? And we know that it's taken up into the firmament, and something turns it to raindrops and gives us a feedback on it over the land that grows our crops and flowers and so forth. Now, this system works, and they call it an ecosystem. The ecosystem is a community of organisms and its environment functioning as an ecological unit. Did you get that? Now you think about what it takes to take water out of the ocean. Always a great supply of water in your ocean. You know why? Remember, Yahweh set the bounds on the ocean. Now it can, all of this can come up and over the earth, but the ocean don't go run dry. Maybe it will now, huh? Maybe it just all come up and go away and we won't have any ocean left. Could be. Because all of it works together. So the bacteria, these critters that takes this stuff and cleanse your land, get your land clean for you so it won't be going into your body, they're falling down on their job too, because it is going into your body. They had a recall on apples this past week. Tons of apples. It's got more poison on it than the health department allows. You won't see a bug. I think I would rather see a bug. They're telling me the things I can't see here will actually kill me. I think I'd rather see a bug that I could pick out. Someone said they'd rather see a bug than a worm than a half a worm after they took a bite of the apple. But they didn't get sick. It didn't kill them. The worm was only eating the apple. He doesn't have a carcass, so it was just made up of the apple he was eating. That's the reason insects are not unclean. That is the most of them. Well, you understand that this is a system now, and they agree now that this is an ecosystem that works together to do this work for you. He says, this is sending ripples through the atmospheric science community now, he said. Now, this came out in January 12, 2009. 2 years after we put the information out about what global warming really is and how Yahweh actually made the firmament. This idea would have been viewed as crazy. Well, it was viewed as crazy in 2007. He says 25 years ago, it would have been viewed as crazy. But now they're seeing that what we said that come strictly from the Holy Scriptures is not crazy. In fact, if we keep on and let the atmosphere, the firmament, be destroyed, it can only get worse here on earth because it was made to govern the earth. One possibility, these are the words they use from then on. One possibility, this may be the theory. The theory is now, so it's guesswork from their own. They don't have to guess if they would just get our book and read it, The Real Cause of Global Warming. Now, I want you to go back to Isaiah 24. Isaiah 24. There's so many things shown by the prophets. It's just hard to believe what they knew and what they wrote about. Maybe they didn't know what they were writing about, but Yahweh put it in their minds to write things that science are just now finding out about. The things that Eob wrote. I think when I first read the book of Eob, I thought, man, this guy is smart. This man had great wisdom. And of course, at that time, I was just studying astronomy. So, you know, and reading his work that he did and seeing what he puts forth there in that book, I said, man, this guy, without a telescope, knows more than these books that I'm reading right now. But here in Isaiah 24, we see in 1 through 6, we see that the earth is being emptied, made waste and perverted. We see that in verse 1. Verse 2 shows, second line, the priest. It's going to be upon the priest, the religious system, because they have done away with the laws. All religions of the earth today, except the house of Yahweh, commit iniquity. That's doing away with the law. Only believe, or don't believe at all. In verse 3, we see that the land will be utterly emptied, utterly plundered, for Yahweh has spoken. He's prophesied this. The earth mourns here. We see this. The earth mourns and fades away. The world mourns and fades away. And the haughty people of the earth languish. Well, all of this is taking place right now. We see the earth dying. We see that this word earth right here also refers to the firmament. The Hebrew word here actually refers to the firmament and the earth together. But it's fading away. That's what the scientists say is taking place right now. It's fading away. The earth is defiled. It's defiled. That it's like saying, don't touch the pig, but you can eat it. Put it in your body where you can't see it. Out of sight, out of mind, right? And then go to bed and go to sleep and wake up with a heart attack in a few minutes, or don't wake up at all. You know, this occurs. Pork kills a lot of people. There's a few other people besides the house of Yahweh that's putting that out now. Okay, under the earth is defiled under the inhabitants of it because they have transgressed the laws. Transgressed the laws. Well, that's what all the religions are doing today. They're saying you don't need to keep the laws. Of course, they're all on a path to heaven, as they claim. That's their reward. That's what they want to do. They want to die and go to heaven, but they don't want to die and go to heaven. But they want to die and go to heaven. That's the confusion that's set in their mind. And by the way, heaven was never promised as a reward of the righteous anyway. There's no promise in there that your reward is heaven. Your reward is righteousness. And with righteousness, praise Yahweh, with righteousness, true righteousness, then all of these things will be given unto you, as Yahshua said. Seek the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness first, he says, first, and the rest will be added to you. Because they have transgressed these laws, the earth is defiled. They're breaking the laws and what they're creating in their own bodies is entering into the earth. The microbes don't know what to do with these things. They're new to them. It's like the woman's body that the ecologist was speaking of and said, here a woman has a second relationship. She says the body, this ecologist from California, University of California, she says the body goes into confusion trying to identify this now that's not supposed to be there. They're trying to identify it to where it could be used and harmonized with the rest of the body, but it doesn't bring harmony, she says. The body goes into confusion. And she said, this is what causes cancer. Yes, this was actually in the article that I read you. I think I put that in the newsletter too. Well, anyway, here we see the same thing is taking place. And the earth now, the microbes, the critters, as they call it, in the earth that is put there, created to clean the earth and the firmament, they're in confusion. They don't know what to do. Here is something strange that's not supposed to be here. It's called pesticides. They take it from pests that's supposed to kill the pest. They cross it, mutate it, and they build up a poison that nothing can deal with. It's trying now to push it into the atmosphere, the firmament, and say, we can't handle this. Here, you deal with it. Well, they can't deal with it either, you know. And they get on their telephones and say, get us some help down here. We're hurting. We're sick. All of our ambulances are busy. We're sick too. That's the kingdoms talking to one another. Micro kingdoms. Imagine that, because this is what's going on. They're in confusion like the world. Why would this man strap on a gun and a bunch of other stupid equipment and go into a movie and start shooting people? Confusion. The same confusion that we see among the people here at this time. Everyone's hand is against the hand of his brother. This is what's taking place with the micro kingdoms in the firmament and in the earth at this time. You can't see it, but there's wars going on right now in the earth, trying to fight off what man has created from his uncontrolled lust. Sodomy being the worst thing, the worst creation of this mess that we see. He says, because of this, because they've transgressed the law, verse 5, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant, because of this, this curse, this plague is called in Revelations 18, come out of her, my people, so you won't be a part of her sins and you won't suffer of her plagues. Come to the protected place. That's what Yahweh says. The curse, the plagues, has devoured the earth, and they who dwell therein are desolate. They don't know what to do. They're confused. They have nothing to work with. They don't know what to work with. We can't create a drug that will stop it. All of these are drugs, and we've used everything we have. They just won't stop it. Why didn't they give this man a shot for this flesh-eating critter? They don't have anything that will stop it. It's the strongest one. They'll probably take some of that stuff and create another pesticide to kill something else and put it in the earth too. And then they'll be recalling the watermelons and saying, hey, this thing is full of this. What do we do? Recall them. Well, what are you going to do with them then? Well, we'll make watermelon juice or something and sell it in a different way. Well, that's the attitude of the world today. Look down to verse 10, the cities of confusion. Well, this is what we've created.
Not only the earth, which we see, Yahweh says, is going to be burned and few men left. And, of course, the great heat in the universe, as the deacon just brought out beforehand. The cities of confusion. Cities of confusion. That's what we're seeing in the world today. Look on down to verse 18. Verse 18. Now, here's where he talks about the firmament, and nobody notices it. They know something is wrong, but they don't know what, so they won't take the rest of the scriptures. They don't want to admit it's STDs that's causing it. But here we see verse 18. Notice it closely with me now. And it will come to pass that he who flees from the noise of the fear will fall into the pit. He who comes up from the midst of the pit will be caught in the snare. For the windows. This is the same thing that Eob tells you about in speaking astronomy, teaching astronomy. The windows from on high are open. That is, in the firmament. The windows from on high are open. Now, I won't go into this meaning here and what open, but I can tell you what is taking place is the feedback that the scientist was talking about a while ago. They can't do anything with it. They're saying, here, take it. You take it. You send it up here, take it back. We can't do anything with it. The foundations of the earth are shaken. This is speaking now of the earth and, of course, the firmament that surrounds it, the foundations of the earth, as Eob called it. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is dissolved clean. Dissolved clean. That's what the heat, of course, Yahweh will allow it and let it be shaken. The earth is shaken exceedingly. The earth will reel to and fro like a drunk and sway like a hut. Why? Because of the transgressions. 1 John 3:4 says sin is the transgression of Yahweh's law. The transgressions in it will be heavy upon it. It will fall and not rise again. This one right here now, verse 21. Notice it real carefully. You won't get anything out of it. But I want to use a King James version here. It will come to pass in that day that Yahweh will punish the host of the high ones who are on high and the kings of the earth upon the earth. Well, if you notice now and you notice what we've been talking about, the firmament, you'll know there's something on high that's going to be taking place. And then, of course, the people on the earth are also going to be suffering here. You see that? Chapter 24, the King James Version, verse 21. And it will come to pass that in that day that Yahweh shall punish. They have a little end there by the side of punish. And if you look down or over to the middle, it says visit. Visit. So you see, they know they mistranslated it, or they know this means something else. It doesn't mean punish. Yahweh is not punishing his creation. They're punishing themselves, you know, by breaking his law. But he's not punishing them. The word there, of course, is judge. And I hope I got that corrected version. If not, I'll bring it the next time. But notice he says, visit the host of the high ones that are on high, that are above the earth. And then you notice he has the kings upon the earth. Now, the Amplified Bible, it says, and in that day Yahweh will visit, they use the word visit, and punish, he says, the host of the high ones on high. Now listen to this one, what they add here. The host of heaven in heaven,
celestial beings. So they know something here, but they don't have it worked out, so they don't know what to do, but they give you enough here to know that that something is wrong with this verse. And they give you choices to make. But they know this is something to do with something above the earth. And then he shows, Isaiah shows, the kings of the earth also will be judged at that time. And of course, their way is what is being put forth as judgment right now. To remember, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day. Heaven and earth to witness. And then he tells them what it will be. If I can find that scripture that the great Kohan Yehuda gave me earlier. Anyway, in this time period, Yahweh, remember he set this lesson before heaven and earth. He said, see, I've set this before heaven and earth. And that which means heaven, the heavens, that is the beings, maybe even the microorganisms are looking at this. It's they have a lot more knowledge than you think. You know, if you think of what Yahweh put in the tiniest ant, and you see this little ant that's running around, you know, picking at your food that you dropped on the floor, and his head is not big enough to have much of a brain at all. You know, they're only about an eighth of an inch long. But you see what that thing is doing, and he never gets lost. You know, he comes, gets his food, and he can make it a half a mile back to his den, wherever his den is. Or if he sees there's too much, he'll build a new den closer. You know, I mean, that little sucker is smart. Could you make rain? Could you make raindrops? Well, these tiny little things that you can't see can actually make raindrops. So Yahweh has put some knowledge in those things, and they enjoy life, we know that. So with all these things combined, we know that there's some great kingdoms there that we're feeding some really poisonous stuff to. And they are trying to take care of you. And we're going to see next week, we'll get deeper into this. There's yet more. And I'll show you where Yahweh says that they look like grasshoppers. And he can see them. Grasshoppers. Well, look at a grasshopper. Now, I know that some of you have been picking grasshoppers, and they're very healthy. They're healthy food. But if you just study the grasshopper, there's much said about him in the Holy Scriptures. But of a night, he walks up, he finds the highest limb, and he goes up there, and he rests all night. And he doesn't even move till the next morning when he starts getting warm. And then he finds him something to eat on. And he cleans up the earth and makes it into a usable substance. Yes, to fertilize the land. And he's eating a lot of things that we probably wouldn't have the grasshoppers there in the abundance if we had healthy plants. But the fact that we don't have healthy plants and they're trying to protect the soil, they're trying to serve this kingdom beneath the ground that is pushing it up and saying, we don't know what to do with it. You take it. Well, if there wasn't so much of that poison coming up from the ground, the grasshoppers may not be there in that large of abundance. I notice they keep increasing every year, along with the heat, along with the drought. It doesn't seem to get too hot for them. They do their work well. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you.